As always, I ask an interest in your prayers today. I want the Lord to bless these moments that we have. Last Sunday, we dealt with the subject of responsibility. Spoke about it, the importance of accepting responsibility and realizing that God has given us so many things. He's given us truth. He's given us the ability to understand truth. And when we understand it and have it settled in our hearts, we're responsible for that. Spoke about how that the Lord had given to His servants responsibilities, and they began to be very careless and reckless with those things that He had put into their hands. He said, "My Lord delays His coming." But they knew He was coming back. And they were reckless and careless with those things He'd put in their hands. And it wound up saying that when the Lord does come back to reckon with those servants, those things He's put in their hands, those that knew the Lord's will and did it not would be beaten with many stripes. But those that did not the Lord's will and didn't know would be beaten with few stripes. The Lord has placed in our hearts, in our minds, and in our ears the ability to hear and understand. And He has given to us a beautiful opportunity to hear truth from His Word. And in hearing truth from His Word, we have a greater responsibility. This morning, my little burden is the parable of the sower. The parable of the sower. We know that with the parable of the sower, there was four types of ground. The wayside, the stony ground, that fell among thorns, and the good ground. So I'd like to turn to the book of Matthew, chapter 13. This parable is found in three of the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke. John omits it from his Gospel. Apparently, it was important enough that these three felt it was worthy of being recorded, and is very nearly the same language in each one of them. There are a couple of things that I want to bring out by the help of the Lord as we read the parable. But I want us to realize that Jesus was bringing to those who would hear fundamental truths. He said, "Who hath ears to hear, let him hear." That puts a responsibility on the hearer. He is trying to say to them, "I have something important to say to you, and if you have heard it, well. If you have chosen to disregard it, well, who has ears to hear, let him hear." Matthew 13:1, we'll begin reading. "The same day went Jesus out of the house and sat by the seaside. And great multitudes were gathered together unto him, so that he went into a ship and sat, and the whole multitude stood on the shore. And he spake many things unto them in parables, saying, Behold, a sower went forth to sow. And when he sowed, some seeds fell by the wayside, and the fowls came and devoured them up. Some fell upon stony places where they had not much earth, and forthwith they sprung up because they had no deepness of earth. Mark says, no depth of earth. And when the sun was up, they were scorched. And because they had no root, they withered away. Some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprung up and choked them. But other fell unto good ground and brought forth fruit, some 100-fold, some 60-fold, some 30-fold. Who hath ears to hear, let him hear. Now turn to Luke, the 8th chapter. And we'll pick up the words of the Lord on the explanation of the parable. He says in the 11th verse of chapter 8 of Luke, "Now the parable is this. The seed is the word of God. Those by the wayside are they that hear. Then cometh the devil, and taketh away the word out of their hearts, lest they should believe and be saved. They on the rock are they which, when they hear, receive the word with joy. And these have no root, which for a while believe, and in time of temptation fall away. And that which fell among thorns are they which, when they have heard, go forth and are choked with cares and riches and pleasures of this life, and bring no fruit to perfection. But that on the good ground are they which in an honest and good heart." I like the way that Luke pulls that out. "An honest and good heart. Having heard the word, keep it, and bring forth fruit with patience." Fruit to perfection means a fruit that is not cast. Fruit to perfection means a fruit that is matured. It's not one that has been diseased. It's not one that has had drought, affected by drought, and the tree or the plant had to cast some of the fruit because it couldn't support it. Fruit to perfection means fruit. It means whatever it is that you're growing, whatever the seed was, corn, wheat, rye, beans, whatever it may be. If the conditions are right, then it brings forth fruit to perfection, something that you anticipate pulling off of the vine, off of the bush, off of the plant, and using it for consumption. That's the desire. In this parable, the Lord has described four different situations and scenarios in the mind and hearts of humanity. I'm going to ask us all in here today, shut off all the things outside of the walls. Look into our own hearts and minds and see, where do I fall in these four places that the Lord described in the parable of the sower? Let's talk about the wayside. In my mind, I see the wayside as being that place that is a path that has been trodden pretty hard. It's been walked on by human feet, animals. In this time of the Bible, the wayside was maybe one that would pass through a cornfield or a wheat field. And you remember one time the disciples, Jesus and His disciples, were walking through a cornfield. And they plucked the ears of corn as they went, and they ate. That was that path that they were walking was a wayside. And the seed didn't grow on that wayside. Why did it not grow? Because it was trod down. Because, as the seed maybe was scattered, the enemy came along and picked up the seed. The birds, the fowls, they came by and plucked it up. The Apostle Paul was likened unto one of those things whenever he was at Mars Hill. Anyway, one occasion where he was speaking, they said, "We'll hear what does this babbler have to say?" The word babbler in the Greek means a seed picker. And he was likened unto one, Paul was likened unto one, that would flit about picking up seeds from the wayside here and there along the way. Paul was no babbler. Paul was a man who had truth and understanding in his heart and his mind and convictions. But the wayside is a place that has not much opportunity for there to be a chance for the seed to grow because it's all exposed out in the open. And the birds, the fowls, anything can come along and pick it up along the way. And that's one of the things that the enemy will do to you and me. When truth comes, when truth is presented, when the Word of God is expounded, whether it's here, in these settings, or in special meetings, or camp meetings, revivals, wherever it is that you may go, whenever the Word of God is presented and is expounded and is put out in a way that is to be understood, the enemy is sure to come along to try to pick that seed up so it doesn't have opportunity to grow. Now, I would like to ask us, to, in our own hearts and minds, to think about those times, those places where I have been in a setting where the truth from the Word of God comes forth under the anointing of His Holy Spirit. What did I do with it? What was the condition of my heart and mind at that time? Was it hard enough that it didn't have a place to sink in? Did the enemy quickly come along and pick that thing up and take it away from me, folks? He has come for no other reason but to steal, kill, and destroy. He does not want you to have much opportunity for there to be a place for that to take root and grow in your life, because He knows that if there is that opportunity for it to take root and to grow, that there is the potential for fruit to be born of that. He doesn't want that to take place. The seed is the Word of the Lord. That's what Luke 8:11 said. It's the Word of God being presented. When you sit down at your table, by your bedside, wherever it is that you do your devotions, when you sit down and you read the Word of God, that is the seed. God, through His Holy Spirit, is making an effort to put some of that seed in your heart and your mind, and let's be careful that we not allow it to be like a wayside. Now let's go on to the next phrase. Some fell upon stony places where they had not much earth. And forthwith they sprung up because they had no deepness of earth. This next person, this next heart, is one that has the ability. The seed has fallen. It's on stony ground. And it's not talking about this like this concrete floor. It's talking about something like out maybe in the driveway where there's rocks and gravel all over the ground. And if it's left undisturbed, it can put down roots, get a little shower, the seed starts to soften up, and it starts trying to make the effort to grow. Many is the time, folks. I'd like to just make a parallel here. There's a group of people, I believe it's called the Bereans. It said that they were given some truth to consider and to ponder, and it speaks about them being more noble than others because they took those things that they had heard and they searched the Scriptures to find out whether or not what they had been told was so. This is a kind of person who takes it seriously and in wanting to know and understand what God's will is for them, wanting to do the Lord's will, is willing to hear it and not let the enemy come along and take it away. But if we're not careful here on this stony ground, we will take something that we hear and just automatically just embrace it and shout hallelujahs and throw up our hands in agreement with it and not have any depth of earth. And then along comes a trial. Along comes tribulation. The sun. The heat. Things will come in life to try you and your experience to see where you are. One thing we ought to do is thank the Lord that we have that opportunity to be tried. Another thing is that it helps me to know, to assess my situation. No depth of earth. stony ground. It doesn't mean that the ground was just bad ground, but it didn't have the root, didn't have the ability to get down in there and search for nourishment, for nutrition. It was not able to find a place. It was just something that was, if you allow me to use the term, surface. It was surface. The wayside was snatched away. The stony ground was just surface. A surface experience. Folks, we need more than just a surface experience. Trials, tribulations, and tests, life will come, and it will try you and test you to see what kind of metal you're of. If your heart and your mind is only like stony ground, and you hear it and it's like, ooh, that sounds good. Yes, let's go. Let's go. Let's get in the harness and I'm ready to snatch and pull. Folks, be better off to quit snatching and pulling and just plod steadily, consistently, than to snatch and pull. Here it says, there was no deepness of earth. In other words, they didn't have experience. They didn't have the place. They didn't have the understanding. They didn't have depth in them where that root was able really to get down, that seed was able to really get down and find a place where they could get the nutrition, the moisture that it all needed in order for it to bring forth fruit. Too many times, people will hear the Word of God and they'll hear it under the anointing, and they'll get caught up in the emotion of the moment, the special song that's sung, the feelings, the Spirit of God coming down and moving and working in the midst of people. People can sense that, folks. People can sense that. And in doing so, they can get excited. And they can say, I want that, and I embrace that. And after a while, 6th verse of Matthew 13, the sun comes up. And it doesn't rain a whole lot. And they were scorched because they had no root. And they withered away. Too many times have I seen that happen. Withered away. And no matter what you and I may do in trying to water and trying to help someone along the way, if the ground is stony ground, if they don't have the willingness and the ability to really understand and comprehend what the truths are and what the responsibilities are, it's just going to wither away. I wish I could say that every person that ever got saved was still saved. But it's not so. People lose out. They backslide. The enemy comes along. They fail in temptation. Verse 7. Some fell among thorns. And the thorns sprung up and choked them. In the 21st and 22nd verses of Matthew here, speaking of the stony ground and then the thorns, let's back up to 20th verse. He that received the seed in the stony places, the same as he that heareth the word, and anon with joy receiveth it, yet hath he not rooted himself, but dureth for a while. For when tribulation or persecution ariseth because of the word, by and by he is offended. He also that receives seed among the thorns is he that heareth the word, and the care of this world, and the deceitfulness of riches, choke the word, and he becometh unfruitful. Mark says, deceitfulness of riches, lust of other things entering in, that's Mark 4:19, choke the word. Luke says, they're choked with the cares and riches and pleasures of this life, and bring no fruit to perfection. Thorns usually grow in pretty good ground, and the ground is usually pretty soft. It's usually a place where there's a lot of sunshine, there's a lot of moisture. There's some good ground there, but it needs some attention given to it in order for it to be able to really produce, effectively produce fruit from the seed cast to it. If you go out into a briar patch and you cast seed into that briar patch, it is possible that that seed might be able to set down some roots and start trying to grow. But the competition for the nutrition, the competition for the moisture, the competition for the sunlight is so great that the thorns, who have the advantage because they grow faster, the thorns will choke out that seed, the good seed. The seed is a good seed, folks. It's the Word of God. It's the Word of the Lord. And there's an interesting word here in this term, care. He also that received seed among thorns is he that heareth the word, and the care or the distractions. The Greek word here is distractions. The distractions of this world. Each of the three Gospels that have the account of this parable in them use that same word, cares. Care or cares. Every one of them recognize that there are going to be distractions, folks. Can I say to you that when the good seed is sown, the good seed is planted, there will be distractions. There will be things that are going to compete for the things in your heart. The thorns is a ground that is soft. It is capable of producing. It's not like the stony ground. It's not like the wayside. It is fully capable of producing. But in order for it to be able to produce, what has to take place? The thorns have to be moved out of the way. That is what takes effort on your part and mine. God doesn't chide a man for not changing his own heart. I don't have the ability to change my heart. I don't have the ability to make my heart a heart of flesh when it was once a stony heart. There's only one thing that can cause my heart to be changed, and that is the Word of the Lord. And that is when the Word of the Lord falls on good ground, instead of me being able to be distracted by the cares or the distractions of this world, the deceitfulness of riches, all these other things that compete, I have to put forth effort to clear that ground. All right? If I don't do it, folks, all the distractions of this world, and how many times, just think in your own heart and mind, how many times have you been distracted? How many times has the Word of the Lord, you heard it go forth, you've been in a meeting, you sat under the Holy Ghost, powerful, anointing message going forth, and it comes forth and it pricks your heart. You know in your heart and your mind that this is really making sense. I can really relate to this, and I really know that if I could apply this to my own life, it would be beneficial to me, and I make solemn desire and purpose that I will apply that, and I will make this change. I will do differently when I leave here. I will make this, apply all this to my heart and my life. I've been guilty of that. I have been guilty of that. Go away, and the distractions are there, folks. The distractions are there. Doing everything they can to keep that seed from growing. The care of this world, deceitfulness of riches, choke the word. He becometh unfruitful. But he that received seed into the good ground is he that heareth the word and understandeth it, which also beareth fruit, some 100, some 60, some 30. Each one of us, the Lord knows our unique abilities. He knows our level of convictions. I was speaking with someone just as we were coming in the chat, just inside the chapel. I remember hearing Brother Clifford Wilson say this in a message. He made mention about who our biggest, best critic ought to be is ourselves. He said, you know why? Because no one but us knows us as good as God does. No one but you, no one but me knows me like the Lord. You don't know me. I don't know you. But God does know you. And you know you. And what the Lord wants to do with every one of us is to bring us to this place where we are, that good ground. So that when that seed is sown, there is the opportunity for it to bring forth fruit to perfection. There is something here that the Lord wants every one of us to apply to our own lives. 30, 60, 100. Am I able to say to you that you must bring forth 100 when you hear the word and it falls on good ground? Can I say to you that you must bring forth 60? Can I say to you that all you have to do is bring forth 30? The truth of the matter is, folks, God knows your ability. If you are capable of bringing forth 100-fold and all you bring forth is 30, to whom much is given, shall much be required. If you're capable of bringing forth 30, and I push you and I drive you and I force you to try to make you bring forth 60 or 100, will the Lord get on to me for that? I'll be accountable for it. To whom much is given is much required. And to whom little is given is little required. He's not going to require more of you than what you're capable of doing. But the good ground is able to produce fruit. Produce seed. I would challenge you, when you look at Matthew 13, this parable of the sower, read Adam Clark's comments about the words bringing forth 30, 60, 100-fold. Read those comments and see the little experiment that one undertook to try to find out the possibility of a grain of corn, a grain of wheat, being able to exponentially divide itself with a little help from the man who is trying to sow the seed and work with the seed, get the most potential out of it that can possibly be gotten. I think you'll be surprised how much one seed is capable of producing. What the Lord is presenting to us in this parable is letting us know that there are four different types of ground. Don't be guilty of being the wayside. Don't be guilty of being the stony ground. Don't be guilty of having the thorns and let the distractions of this life take away the opportunity for there to be fruit from your seed. But good ground. What do we have with good ground? Remember what the good ground is supposed to receive? It's the condition of my heart. It is to receive the seed. What is the seed? The seed is the Word of God. The Word of the Lord. When that Word is able to fall in my heart, in your heart, let's not say we have no deepness of earth, just a surface experience. That's not going to get us very far, folks. That'll only get us as far as when the trials and temptations come, when the sun comes up and it gets hot and it withers away. But seed that is on good ground is seed that when the opportunity presents itself, it puts down its root into the ground. It springs up. I've looked at some pictures and images. I tried to do a little bit of a little quick research on the ability of trees to put forth their roots and put down their roots. One of the things that I have discovered, and you probably have too if you've worked very much with it, when you start trying to pull up a sapling, in my flower beds around our house, we have lots of oak trees and lots of acorns and lots of squirrels. And they're constantly planting acorns in the flower beds. Every year I have oak trees coming up from the acorns in my flower beds. And I try to keep on top of that. When I see a sprout and recognize that it is, when it sends out that little leaf, and I say, oops, that's a little tree, that's a little oak, I better get that pulled up. Because there have been times whenever I have neglected or missed one, over didn't see it, and come back and let it get up about this high. Let it get up about a foot. And reach down there with your hand and start trying to pull it. You're going to find out you're going to need a pair of gloves. And you're going to find out that you might not get it with a pair of gloves. You might have to get something else. And I'll tell you what I have done. I've taken a pair of pliers. Well, I can't get it with my hand. I can't get it with the gloves because it hurts my hand to try to pull it up. So I'll get a pair of pliers. And I get a pair of pliers and squeeze down there at the base of that root and start trying to pull up, break it off. Why? Because it's put down a root. It's put down a root that is not only just a little skinny shoot down, it's starting to spread out. And it has good traction. Which is what the Lord wants us to do with the seed, the Word of God, and a good heart. To find a place where it has traction. Find a place where it can get nourishment. Find a place that when the sun comes up, when the trials come, when the distractions come, that it's not withered away. The trials, the experiences that you have in life, day in and day out, are those things that are testing you and trying you. May I encourage you here today, if you find yourself in that place where the enemy is stealing away the seed, if you find yourself in that place where your experience is just a surface experience, if you find yourself in a place where the distractions get you off guard and catch you, drag you away, may I encourage you today to work on the heart. Ask the Lord to help you. Ask Him to help you to clear out those thorns and briars and thistles that are in the way. Ask Him to soften it up. The man can't change his own heart except the Lord helps him and gets in there with him to work with it. May God help us, folks, to let our heart be one that is prepared to receive the Word. Matthew said, "He that receives seed into the good ground is he that hears the Word and he understands it." It's more than just emotion. It's more than just feeling. It is understanding. It's like the Bereans. They searched the Scriptures to find out whether or not what they were being told was true. And when they found out it was so, they wrapped their arms around it. They embraced it. May the Lord help us today to do the same. As you go through life, as you grow in your experience with the Lord, you're going to come into things that are taught and preached that you may not understand. You may not understand it. May I encourage you this way? Too many times I've seen this happen. And I use this analogy. It's a driving analogy. May I encourage you not to outdrive your headlights? Because just as sure as you do, you ever drive at night and the visibility is a little poor? Maybe speed limit's 70 on the interstate, but fog has rolled in. Speed limit's 70. I can drive 70. Sure you can, legally, but is it safe? If you can't see far enough to drive that fast at night, is it safe? No, it's not safe. Don't outdrive your lights, because if you do, you're setting yourself up for the potential of a disaster. And so it is with the Word of God. It says, and understands it. The Scripture tells us that there's 30, 60, 100. Some have more ability, more understanding, more knowledge, more capability. Based on their background, based on their personalities. It's not something that we should look down our nose at. It's something that we should know that there are differences. And may I encourage you to drive, work, walk within those convictions that the Lord has given to you and your understanding of those, knowing how to apply them, because when you do that, you'll find a place where you will grow. You will grow. If you find yourself in a place where all you're doing is trying to do it because it's what the teacher, it's what the preacher said, that, can I tell you, is a surface experience. And when the trial and tribulations come, what you're going to find is that you don't have deepness of earth. And when that sun gets up and it gets hot, you'll be discouraged. But when you have understanding and you have conviction and you have the roots that have been put down, then when that trial and temptation comes, it's got some traction. And when it does get a little dry, it's not just trying to pull water off of the surface. It's pulling water from down deep. I saw an image, a picture of a pine tree. I don't know, remember who it was that gone out and digged it. But they pulled it out of the ground and they brushed away and washed away all the dirt from around the root system of it. It wasn't a big pine. It was probably a 6 or 8 inch trunk. But it was obvious. This tree had it's just God put in these things to grow, to find moisture, to find nutrients. It came down about 6 inches. The root system about 6 inches, and took a drastic turn to one side. The explanation given in the caption was that it found a restriction. It found stony ground there underneath the tree. And it sent its roots around to try to find a place of nourishment and nutrition. And I thought, Lord, will You please help me to do everything that I know to do and everything that I can when I find myself with the Word of God studying it, and sometimes some difficulties in the Scriptures do arise, folks. And sometimes there are things that you think you have understood for all of your life, and you get into a battle and you find out the Lord is trying to teach you something about what you thought you understood. May I encourage you to let the Lord work with that good ground. And if it has to be redirected, if your thoughts and your ideas have to be redirected, let the Lord do that with you. You don't want just a surface experience. You want something where there is depth of earth. So when the temptations, tests, and trials come, you can still stay green. You can still grow. And you can still have fruit. I appreciate your time and attention. God bless each one is my prayer. Please do pray for me. Let's pray for one another. Amen.